Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Gang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling today. Lots going on tonight. There's wrestling in Osceola, Indiana. There is WCWO at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, like RCW in Selma, Texas, Mid-South Elite Pro Wrestling in Memphis, Tennessee, VOW in Connellsville, Pennsylvania, Warriors of Hurt in Whitehall, New York, NSCW in Hardin, Kentucky, PHW in Mesa, Arizona, featuring a couple of our local Pacific Northwest guys. Tomorrow night, huge HPW anniversary show in Columbus, Indiana. SCW happening in Bremerton, Washington at Paul Blanita's. MCW in Joppa, Maryland. New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana. RCW in Elkhart, Indiana. IWA Mid-South in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Dreamwave in LaSalle, Illinois. APW in Boiling Springs, South Carolina. AIWF in Chattanooga, Tennessee. WPW in Deep Air, Wisconsin. ECCW in Vancouver, BC. MVPW in Kaiser, Oregon. MPW in Edmonton, Alberta. ACE in Wallington, New Jersey. Border City Wrestling in Windsor, Ontario, NAWA in Drexel, North Carolina, NACW happening tomorrow in Dunbar, Pennsylvania, featuring Casey Carlisle. Without further ado, I would like to welcome on our guest for the afternoon. He is out of the great state of Indiana, and he is on one of the aforementioned cards tonight. Evan O'Leary, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
Doing very well. Now, since tonight is your first time on our particular program, we're going to give you the first timer's question. What got you into professional wrestling?
Oh, man. My dad was always a big wrestling fan, so I mean, I kind of grew up with him, but I never really got into it until about the 90s. I think the first time I ever seen wrestling, I turned on TV, and I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin coming down to the ring and cut a promo on Vince McMahon, and I just fell in love. At 9 years old, I walked up to my mom and said, "Mom, become a professional wrestler one day," and she laughed at me. I wrestled on trampolines for years. I got scars in my mouth from wrestling. Wrestling's been my life since I was 9, so it was just a matter of time until I found a way in.
At 9 years old, obviously you had quite some time to go before you actually made your way into the business. Did you have any idea leading into getting trained what was involved in becoming a wrestler, or was it all pretty new as it happened to you?
I had an idea. I mean, WWE kind of broke the whole word of kayfabe back in the 90s when they did Tough Enough, where they kind of showed the buildings of becoming a wrestler, and I got to see an idea of that. So I kind of knew about tucking your chin and laying flat on your back. But when I actually started doing it, it was way harder than I expected. I remember waking up mornings, not able to move. This is 6 years ago. I'm 27 now. It's 22 years old. Not able to roll out of bed. So, yeah, I had no idea, but I had a little bit of a rough guess what it was going to be like.
Now, it has been fairly recently that you made a comeback to professional wrestling. You want to tell us a little bit about the comeback and how it's been progressing so far for you?
Yeah. I came back probably a little over 2 months ago. This is, I think tonight is my fourth show back, my third time in the ring in 2 years. It's something I kind of always wanted to do, but, you know, 2 years ago, I just got tired of politics. I got tired of drama. I got tired of bullshit with wrestling, and it just wasn't as – it wasn't fun anymore. And I was always taught when it's no longer fun, it's time to walk away. So I walked away. My body was banged up. I was just ready to, you know, 3 years, every week straight, wrestling 4 or 5 matches a night. I put in a little over 2,000 matches in 3 years. I was ready to take a break.
What were some of the injuries that you had from wrestling at the point that you left it?
I had some injuries, but I can't say they were actually from wrestling. I think I had some nicks and bruises and you know, bangs where, you know, my back was kind of hurting, but I hurt my back before wrestling. My knee was hurting, but that was before wrestling. But at the time, it was more of emotionally hurting. More than I want to talk about injury, my psyche was broken. I was in a bad state in my life, and I just felt wrestling wasn't there anymore for me, both physically or mentally anymore.
Now, since the comeback, you've taken on a manager, someone else that has had to step away for quite a while due to injury, Matt Starr. What's your opinion not only on Matt Starr, your personal manager now, but on managers in general as it relates to wrestling in the year 2016?
Rephrase the question. You mean what is my opinion on having a manager, or what's my opinion on managers nowadays?
Both. What's your opinion on your personal manager, Matt Starr, and also just your general opinion on managers as it relates to the year 2016?
As far as my manager, Matt, managed me that my first match come back. I've yet to see him return since then. So as far as my personal opinion on my manager, he's kind of not living up to his pay. As far as my opinion on managers nowadays, I think it's a lost art. You know, you get a few good managers every now and then that, you know, can still, I don't know, really draw attention from the crowd or do their job. But I think managers now are more gimmicks and more guys coming out just yelling and trying to be a distraction and helping the referee. There's no art of it no more, where the managers such as Bobby DeBrain Heenan and I'm having a brain fart, I'm sorry. The managers of the old, the Mr. Fuji's, you'd see them and you knew something bad was going to happen. Managers come now, you're like, God damn it, I got to deal with this guy for another 15 minutes. Not all, don't get me wrong. There's some good managers out there still, but as a whole, that's what I see.
Now, do you foresee a time when managers might become relevant in wrestling on the national level at some point, or do you think it's pretty much the few that are left, once they're gone, the entire art of managing will be gone?
I hate to say that it's a possibility that the entire art of managing can be gone, because most people, most wrestlers now, most workers, they can cut a promo. They can draw heat. If they learn to develop a character, they don't really necessarily need a manager. Like, managers refer to people like, you know, that can't cut a promo or just don't have the charisma to keep the crowd involved, or just people that are young and haven't learned those steps yet. I think managers will always be relevant, but I don't think they'll be to a point to where they used to be in the old, unless something changes and somebody actually comes up and goes, oh, I want to be a manager. I want to see more referees. I want to see better referees. We're talking about managers here. Let's get some good referees back in here.
Now, speaking of them, it's also kind of a underappreciated art. A lot of promoters don't fully appreciate how important and how vital to a great match a referee can be. Who are some of the better referees that you've worked with over the years?
Oh man, I've worked with a lot of young guys coming up that have just learned how to ref from just a lot of greenhorns that we've just taught how to ref. So a lot of the ones I'm going to mention, I don't know if you guys will even know their names. Tony Graves was a good one. She for not only was she an African American, she was deaf, and she was a phenomenal, not only a worker training, but a good manager, a good referee. There's a guy that runs around here by the name of Ray. He's a good referee. Ben Little is a good ref. And some of the guys I don't know names. My problem in this business, I don't learn anybody. I don't know anybody's names. I don't care. We're all guys that put on tights and get in the ring and beat up each other. So unless, a lot of times I'll forget people's names. Sorry, I'm pretty bad at that.
Now, you mentioned the need for better refs. Since you've come back, I know you've only had a couple of matches, but have you noticed a lack in the quality of officiating in those matches?
I don't know how to answer that. The referee I had my last show was good. He stayed in place. I didn't have to worry about his location. My first match, our referee had been out of the ring for years. Sorry, there's a train going by. The referee had been out of the ring for years, so he was kind of a little rusty, but he was so good. I mean, I guess yes and no, but I haven't wrestled enough shows to really give an answer on that.
Now, you're on a show this evening. We mentioned it earlier in the program. Now, the people that you're on the show with today, guys like Ox Baker Jr., Hank Calhoun, people like that, Slim Trimmons, they've been around for a while. Do you find it easier to come back when there's guys that have been around the business for quite a while than it would be if you were on shows that featured mostly young talent?
Yes and no. My first match back, I wrestled J.C. Bunyan. I've never wrestled him. I don't know who he is. I don't know how long he's been in the business. And we had a phenomenal match because he came in. He wanted to talk about it. We blended the match together. It was beautiful. And then last week I worked one of the guys here. He didn't mention his name. One of the guys that's been here for a while worked at Tone C. We had a phenomenal match. It was easier to wrestle with him because I've not only have been in the business forever, but I've wrestled him most of my career. He was one of the guys that actually helped get me as far as I am in this business. So I asked people in this locker room, I knew already coming back. That's one of the reasons why I chose to come to this show.
Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers tend to gravitate towards either later in their career or once they've had several injuries as a way to try to mask the decline in the physical abilities is hardcore wrestling. Is hardcore wrestling something that you've ever done much of in your career, and is it something that you're looking to possibly do during this run?
No. I'm going to be honest. Like, I've done a couple of hardcore matches, but I want to call them hardcore matches. They were gimmick matches. They were matches that involved weapons. But I was taught a very old school style of wrestling where it's more of a storytelling. I don't need to do 100 things. I'm not going to, you know, risk my career for one match unless I feel like there's need for it. But I don't plan on making it anywhere far in wrestling. I like being an independent worker. I like wrestling maybe once or twice a month. It's wrestling's a hobby to me because I don't want to be in the ring forever. So as far as hardcore, no. If there are gimmick matches and they involve some hardcore, yeah, as long as I'm wrestling somebody who knows how to work a hardcore match and just doesn't want to beat the hell out of me with a weapon.
Now, a lot of wrestlers I've noticed have different ways that they like to apply their tape. Some wrestlers actually don't use any tape. Some of them tape the wrists, some the whole hands. Some are very particular in how they apply the tape each and every time. It's sort of a ritual. Some people write certain things on the tape. Do you have any particular tape rituals that you do?
I don't wear tape anymore. I used to in the beginning of my career, and then not really. I have a gear ritual. I put my gear on the same way every time. I put on my compression shorts on. I put on my singlet. I'll put on my right knee pad, my left knee pad, then my left kick pad, my right kick pad, then left shoe, right shoe. And then I'll put my strap over and tie my left shoe, and then do the same thing with the right, and then I smack my knee pad. I do it every single time when I get dressed before every show. It's a ritual. And if I don't, I feel like I'm going to have a bad match.
And do you ever fear safety if you don't happen to follow the ritual the exact same way? Some people think it's sort of a safety thing once they don't do the ritual correctly.
I don't know if it's really a safety thing. I think it's more of just a self-conscious thing. It helps me feel like, okay, this worked for me last time, and this was perfect. Why did I fix what's not broken? Like, I used to wear ugly socks in my matches, and I've lost my ugly socks, so I've been feeling kind of unsafe lately. And where I trained and where I did a lot of my wrestling was OCWA out in Elkhart under Matthew Collins, the promoter there, and from Georgia. And they always taught us ugly socks protect from ugly bumps. So I used to wear ugly socks on all my shoes, on all this stuff. But other than that, as far as, like, if I don't do it, I'll stop and start all over. Like, I'll take everything off and start all over.
And we have a game on the show that we like to play. It's called Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will ask you a series of two options, and the one that is your personal preference, that is the answer. Are you prepared to play around and bring on the toys, bring on the funk?
Yeah, bring it on, man, bring it on.
Here we go. Pin or submission?
Submission.
Scott Steiner or Scott Irwin?
Scott Irwin.
Suplex or body slam?
Suplex.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Paper or plastic?
Plastic.
Marmaduke or Garfield?
Garfield.
Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Shoes and kick pads.
Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground?
Lucha Underground.
And the last one, four-sided ring or six-sided ring?
Six-sided ring.
With that, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has some questions, so let's help you as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. O'Leary.
How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Mr. O'Leary, one of our other standard questions is, did you turn out for sports in high school, and scholastically, what were your three favorite classes?
I did do sports in high school. Freshman year, I played football. I started the entire offense and defensive line for a freshman team. I hurt my neck, so I had to leave halfway through the season. I didn't do any other sports until my senior year where I wrestled. And then before the first meet, I sprained my ankle. So high school, my athletics were outside of school. Scholastically, my favorite classes were anything that wasn't involving extra work. So I loved choir. I was a big singer through high school, still am. I love drama. Acting has always been a passion of mine. That's why wrestling's come easy for me. And, life science, anything that had to do with, like, space or life or biology, like, I love that stuff. Chemistry.
Oh, okay. All right. Were you a big physics person? Like, what was that? Kids on the Big Bang Theory, Howard and Raj. Were you a big physics person?
I wouldn't say I'm a big physics person, but I understand physics, I guess you could say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you said that you played some football when you were a freshman. I'm going to guess that your playing weight as a freshman was 210 pounds.
It was close. It was close to that, yeah. I think high school or my eighth grade year, I wrestled at 175. I think I hit 210 that summer. I want to say I was playing at probably 220.
Oh, wow.
But I was fit
okay.
back then. I had a decent body on me back then. I worked out quite a bit.
Would you say that you were a miniature Lex Luger when you were a freshman? Yes.
I wasn't that jacked. I had definition. I had a big chest. I had big shoulders. My arms were, nowhere near like Alex or any of them. But I had a decent build on me. I knew how to hit.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you realize that in his senior year in high school football, King Kong Bundy was a reported 350 pounds?
I believe it.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Now, did you ever try the pole vault in high school?
No, I didn't. I think even then I kind of knew that I was a little bigger than other people. Close to 6 foot. So I figured getting anywhere too high off the ground was probably a bad idea.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, what is the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a lady wrestler?
I gotta remember. She was about Heidi Lovelace now. Heidi Lovelace. But when I was, she was under Miss Heidi when she first started. Because she had some time on me when I started training, but I remember training with her.
Oh, wow.
Her chop sock.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. O'Leary, one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes was the one when Jerry let a valet park his car, but the valet had rampant BO. No amount of interior cleaning could rid the car of that smell. He rolled the car to a poor part of town, saw a rough-looking character, dangled the keys in the air, put the keys on the top of his car, and then walked away. The rough-looking character then looked both ways, went into Jerry's car, and started it up, but then he got this awful look on his face because the B.O. had stuck around. My question is, have you wrestled any characters in the wrestling ring that smelled like Jerry's interior car?
Oh my God, yes. Unfortunately, yes, I have. Oh man,
okay.
I don't want to say any names because I'm good friends with the guy. But I remember even in training, I had stopped the match, rolled out of the ring, and handed him my deodorant.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Okay.
Well,
he
gave me a headlock, man. As soon as he gave me a headlock, my face turned green. I said, "No, this ain't working." I rolled out.
Oh, all right. Okay, so are you saying that Seinfeld episode of Jerry's car is one of your top three? That's what I'm asking.
I could say that, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. All right, well, Mr. O'Leary, I saw your YouTube video entitled J.C. Bunyan versus Evan O'Leary 9-10-16, and the first thing that struck me was the entrance music of J.C. Bunyan. You can definitely hear some chainsaw effects. My question is, were you fearful of the forearm strength of J.C. Bunyan because of his years in the forests of New England cutting down hardwood trees? Everyone knows that sometimes you have to use the cross-cut saw as a lumberjack, and that really strengthens the forearm with a back and forth sawing motion.
I don't think I was fearing his forearm strength. I don't know anything about the guy coming out, and I'm very arrogant. I'm very confident in what I am capable of doing in this ring. And I even though, 2 years being out of the ring, I'm like, I hope they don't let him hit me too much. And then when his music hit, like, yeah, I got a little worried. I ain't gonna lie, a little bit. And then he came out, and I seen the purple shirt, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be easy.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Now, were you prepared that J.C. Bunyan may have had a WWE or TNA wrestler that he may have hired due to the extra money he made and could afford in timber export to hide under the ring in a blue ox costume, and when the time was right, unleash this blue ox to gore your manager?
No, I never thought about that, but I kind of wish that would have happened.
Oh, okay. Yes, I mean, I just heard from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that J.C. Bunyan made a lot of money in timber exports. That's what I heard. Yes.
Oh, man, I believe it.
Oh, okay.
You smell like
all right. Well, Mr. O'Leary, one of the seminal moments of Irish heritage and the Muppets occurred when the Muppets hosted Monday Night Raw and Professor Honeydew gave one of my top three all-time favorite Muppets, Beaker, a potion to deliver to one of the wrestlers. I think it was Santino Marella. When he was walking backstage, he was stopped by Chris Jericho, who poured his solution out. The Celtic warrior Sheamus made Chris Jericho slink away, and then Sheamus and Beaker talked about family ties. My question is, do you know what Irish clan Beaker belongs to?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, my second question is then, Beaker, one of your top three favorite Muppets?
I like Beaker. I can't say he's definitely in the top five. I can't say he's in the top three.
Oh, okay. How about Gonzo?
Gonzo's in the top three, actually. He's not going to be a better Animal. Animal's my favorite, and always has been.
Oh, okay. All right. Animal, okay. Have you yourself seen the YouTube clip where Animal challenges one of the best drummers ever to walk the earth? I think it was, now I can't remember his name. But he had a drum off with one of the great jazz drummers of all time. Did you see that YouTube video?
I want to say I have, but I can't think of it. I've seen a couple of his videos against other drummers. I think I've seen one against Travis. I think I've seen him against Travis Barker one time, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it wasn't Gene Kupra. It wasn't him. Okay. All right. Your homework assignment, Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment, is to go look up Animal Drum Off. Yes. And you can see this drum up. Okay.
All right, I'll have to do that.
Now, had you scouted YouTube clips of J.C. Bunyan before the match?
No, I had never heard of him.
Oh, okay, never heard of him. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. O'Leary, Owen Madden was an Irish mobster who was born in 1891 and lived till 1965. He was a New York organized crime figure involved in bootlegging and was a former leader of the Gopher Gang. Dean O'Banion was a Chicago mobster and founded the North Side Mob. Many of his Italian gangster rivals called him the Bantam Rooster from Hell. And Joseph Mad Dog Sullivan was a New York mobster and freelance assassin for the Genovese crime family. My question is, which of these three gangsters, Owen Madden, Dean O'Banion, or Joseph Mad Dog Sullivan, would you most like to see if you could travel back in time and arrange it for them to step into the ring with All-American good guy Ed the Strangler Lewis and be taught some manners in the ring?
Say their names again.
Okay, there was Owen Madden, there was Dean O'Banion, and Joseph Mad Dog Sullivan.
I want to see Madden. I think that would have been good.
Okay, Owen Manning. Okay, very good. All right. He was a former leader of the Gopher Gang. Very good. All right. Now, Mr. O'Leary, the Hudson Dusters were an Irish gang that formed in the late 1890s and were known to carry feather dusters around with them, break into people's houses, and dust various pieces of furniture against the owner's will. My question is, have you ever used a feather duster dipped in liquid nitrogen to make it rock hard and use it on an opponent while yelling, "This is for the Hudson Dusters"?
No, but I'm doing it. That is awesome.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, my God. Where do you find this crap?
Oh, well, I'm pretty serious with these. We ask the existential questions on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes.
This is amazing. I'm sorry. Continue.
Well, the Hudson Dusters were an actual gang, yes. I'm not making this up.
Oh, no, I believe you. I believe you, but that's amazing.
Yes, if you dip stuff in liquid nitrogen, it becomes rock hard. Yes. And you know, I know that you were into chemistry in high school. Like, if you dip a banana in liquid hydrogen, you can pound nails with it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Oh, have you heard of the Plug Uglies and the Dead Rabbits, who, according to Irish folklore, held the first ever battle royal in Monaghan County in Northern Ireland?
I haven't, no.
Okay, that's the Plug Uglies and the Dead Rabbits, okay. Well, Mr. O'Leary, the Dropkick Murphys are a band from Massachusetts with such songs as "I'm Shipping Up to Boston," "The Spicy McHaggis Jig," "Kiss Me, I'm Shit-Faced," and "The Dirty Glass." Have you considered using any of these songs as your entrance music?
I looked into them a couple of times when I first started. I didn't hear any. I mean, I like the music. I look for a certain thing in a song when I come out, it's got to have a drop. It's got to have a. I like to listen to the words because I sing myself and I'm big into music myself. I have to feel the music. So they never had that song that really, really stuck with me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. O'Leary, you mentioned Mr. Fuji earlier to Sign Guy. Were you a big fan of the Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji comedy team?
I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Oh, okay. Well, Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji formed a stand-up comedy routine. They did, yes.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. I'm going to have to look that up. I love Fuji.
Oh, yeah. It's one of Sign Guy's favorites. That and Fuji General Hospital, yes. Oh, they were great. I mean, Don Morocco could really deliver the lines, and he was never distracted. Yes. Never distracted. And Bobby the Brain Heenan was slightly laughing, but not too much. I highly recommend you look that up. Yes. But I was going to ask, if you had seen that, I was going to ask what local indie wrestler you would most like to team with to do a Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji tribute comedy team in Las Vegas. Who would you like to team with? Okay. But you can't answer that because you haven't
I
seen
can't.
It. But
yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I can't.
I didn't know because
I think it would have been good. There's a lot of people I probably could think of doing a comedy bit with, but I have to see the bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, once you see that, can you get back with Sign Guy and tell him who you would most like to team with to do a comedy routine? Yes,
I will. I will do that.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. O'Leary, if you had a choice to wrestle at the former site of German POW camps Bergen-Belsen, Auschwitz, or Treblinka, or you had the choice that you could wrestle on the banks of Loch Ness, which site would you choose?
The banks of Loch Ness.
Oh, okay. Okay, that'd be a little bit more of a sunnier disposition than Bergen-Belsen or Auschwitz. Okay, very good. All right.
I just like the idea of being able to throw somebody into the water.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, well, Mr. O'Leary, do you have a son or daughter that wants to follow in your footsteps?
I do not. I currently have no children.
Oh, okay. All right. No children. Okay. Very good. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. O'Leary, if you could travel back in time to the 30s or 40s, first of all, are you a wrestling historian? Would you call yourself a wrestling historian?
I am not. I can honestly tell you, I know a little bit about what I actually got into enough to study. Other than that, I'm just a fan that got a chance to wrestle.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to discount the 30s and 40s. And fast forward up to the 80s, who in the late 80s and early 90s would you like to most wrestle or be a faction with? Would it be the New World Order?
I'm going to do the New World Order, no. Early 80s, late 90s. Or early, late 80s, early 90s. Oh, wow. Yokozuna. I would love to wrestle Yokozuna.
Oh, my gosh. Yokozuna. Okay, the man who once tipped the scales at over 600 pounds. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be a scary, amazing opportunity. Or I was always a big fan of Arn Anderson.
Oh, Arn Anderson. Okay, very good. All right. How about the Ultimate Warrior? Would you like to step into the ring with him if you could travel back in time? Or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
I'd love to step in the ring with either one of them. I mean, both of them revolutionized the sport. The Ultimate Warrior is I think the Ultimate Warrior would probably drive me nuts.
Okay.
He seems very hyper. Jimmy Superfly would have been amazing to work.
Okay. How about Jeff Hardy? Or you could join the faction of Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen.
I'd rather join Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. Never been a big fan of the Hardys.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. O'Leary, I looked up a couple of dishes, Irish dishes, and black pudding is sausage made from cooked pig's blood, pork fat, pork rind, pork shoulder, pork liver, oats, onion, rusk, wheat starch, salt, and pimento and seasonings. Boxty is a finely grated raw potato and mashed potato mixed together with flour, baking soda, buttermilk, and an occasional egg, and then cooked like a pancake on a griddle pan. That's boxty. Now, Champ, also known as Pondos, is mashed potatoes and chopped scallion with butter and milk. So you've got Champ, boxty, and black pudding. Can you tell us about if you have ever tried these Irish dishes, and if not, can you take us through a typical breakfast that you devour before you put on your wrestling tights? That's non-Irish. Yes.
I can say I've never had any of that, and while you're explaining black pudding, I think I almost gagged a little bit. that's nasty. A typical breakfast for me, I'm weird. I wake up in the morning, like if I have the money to actually eat, I'll have a bowl of Lucky Charms first thing in the morning for a show, and then eggs, toast, bacon, and pancakes. And then I probably won't eat the rest of the day until before the show.
Wow, all right, okay, all right. Lucky Charms, well, that's kind of like an Irish connection. Very good.
Okay. I just think they're good. I know, honestly, the Irish thing is a, it was pretty much the people that gave me the gimmick. This is something I was given because I have red hair. The name is changing real soon. I'm letting everyone know now. The name is changing really soon. The gimmick's changing. All of it's switching. I'm doing something on my own finally. After 6 years in this business, I'm making my own gimmick.
Oh boy! Now I'm sort of let down because I did hours of studying on Irish gangs like the Plug Uglies and the Hudson Dusters.
I'm sorry. Listen, I've enjoyed the content. Plug Uglies,
I can see a gang dipping a feather duster in liquid nitrogen and breaking into people's houses and randomly dusting. Yes. I can say that. They grumble against a gang out here known as the Bente Lattes, a gang named after an extra large cup of coffee, the Bente Lattes. Yes. It's true. Okay. Well, I wish you good luck in your homework assignments in looking up, like, the Muppet video. That would be good, Animal.
Yeah.
But more important, Mr. Fuji and Don Morocco comedy team and reporting back to Sign Guy or the Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page and telling us what you think. Very important. Yes.
I will definitely be doing that, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. All right. We'll stay away from those Hudson Dusters, and I now turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, QT. Well, Evan, you mentioned a QT that you don't have any children to follow in your footsteps, but do you have other family members that have been in the wrestling industry?
I have a very small family. So I have a lot of people that I have adopted as family that become real close to me as family. You mentioned Matt Starr earlier. I'm the one that called. I'm the one that gave Matt the first call to get him to come in to actually wrestle. I started training, and after a week into it, I thought of Mike, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to wrestle?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" It's like, "Well, I started wrestling, and do you want to come and wrestle me? You're my brother. Nothing would be greater than having my brother in this ring with me, like we talked about when we were kids." I have made family in this business. My brother actually right now is stepping in the ring for the first time in 4 years, Tyler Matthews. He's wrestling tonight. He's not wrestling, but he is stepping back in the ring. I got to bump around with him earlier. He's his family. It's Matthew Collins, the guy that trained me and the promoter of OCWA, has become family. So as far as blood family, no, I don't. But I've made a lot of family in this business. I guess you could say that.
Now, in your area, there are a lot of second and third generation families going strong. You have people like Don Basher, his son and grandson, TJ Kemp and his son Sean. There's Bobo Brazil Jr., who's second generation, of course, to show you're on tonight, Ox Baker Jr. So family ties very strong in the Midwest. Do you think it's easier for people that are breaking into the business to be in an established family with people in their family that have been through the business for some time? Or do you think it's easier for someone to get their foot in the door and get established if there's not the familial ties to them?
I want to say that that's double-edged sword. In my experience, it was easier to not have any ties, because I didn't have any expectations to deal with. I didn't have to watch. I didn't wait. I didn't anybody go, "Well, I want him to be as good as his dad, or he's got to be this good." Either. Like, I think if I was to come from a lineage like, you know, Ox or any of them, where I have, you know, family who wrestled before, I feel like I had to live up to their name, especially if they developed a big name. I look at some of the third and second generations, even in WWE or them, where I feel bad for them because they're good workers, because they're not their father or their mother. They're not, you know, they're not pushed. They don't have that, you know, layer about them. I think it's probably be harder for people who have lineage due to the fact they had to live up to their name.
Alan, is similar vein to that. Do you think that the people that are second generation and third generation that are coming up now, do you think that they take to the business quicker, more so than someone that goes in and they have not been around the business at all, or do you think that doesn't really come into play very much?
I'm sure they definitely pick up quicker. Not knowing really generations, but Matt Collins, his sons, Jason Collins and Brandon Collins, down in Georgia, they grew up with wrestling. So for them, it was they did it since they were real little, so they developed quicker. Now here they are younger than me. I think Jason's younger than me. Brandon's older than me. But Jason, I look at him like an older brother because he's got so much experience. He has so much knowledge, and he picks up on the sport so quickly. I think having the opportunity to grow up in the business, you can learn different sides. I don't necessarily mean that it makes it easier because I picked up on wrestling really quickly. I was bumping really no problems within my first week of training. My biggest issue was developing a character. So it really just depends on the person. I guess in my opinion, I don't think it really makes it easier or not. I think having lineage definitely gives you a leg up than somebody who has no ties to the business at all.
We have a second game on the show that we like to play. This one, not really a right or wrong answer, just your opinion, but we call it fact or crap. I'll throw you a rumor that has been in the wrestling business for some time, and just based on your experiences and your opinions, you tell me if you think it's an actual fact that happened or just a bunch of crap that's been floating around the locker room. Are you prepared to play?
Yeah, I'm prepared.
All right. The urban legend for you is that Bruiser Brody had been contacted by several promoters to run in during the WrestleMania 1 main event and ruin the show.
I can see that being fact. I mean, I'm sure around that time, Vince had pissed off quite a few people. So why not take a shot at ruining his big moment? I can see that being fact.
All right. Now, we've talked about how you have wrestled around the state of Indiana quite a bit. Are there other areas that you would like to wrestle now that you've made your comeback?
Yes, I desperately want to go down to Georgia. I love the southern style down there. I have been in a... sorry, I'm talking to a fan. So down in Georgia would be great. I would love to wrestle down in Alabama as well. I like the southern. I really like the south. I think it's kind of what I was trained on. So anything south, old school, slow, methodical, where they actually make contact, I'm down for it.
Now, since you've come back, I don't know if you put too much thought into this as of yet, but have you come out with any new merchandise that the fans might be able to pick up at the arenas?
Not yet. I did mention a little bit ago that I'm changing the gimmick. I have a new name picked out. I got to get gear set up and a logo made. I will be making, probably be by summer of this coming up summer, I should have t-shirts and some maybe some hats or some coffee mugs or something that I'm going to make. They'll have logos on them, but not at the moment. Yeah, I am not.
I wouldn't mind picking up a coffee mug. I'm just going to throw that out there.
You know what? That's why I figured everyone drinks coffee, so why would I not make a coffee mug?
yes.
Very
Irish
smart.
Coffee.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people in the industry look forward to every year is a Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. Have you ever participated in one of the CAC reunions or plan to eventually hit one?
I'm going to probably sound like a greenhorn here, but I've never heard of it. I don't do a lot of studying in independent wrestling. I don't. A lot of people take it really seriously. I love it. I enjoy wrestling. But as far as, like, researching other shows and researching other people in other places, I just don't. I mean, I probably should more, but I'm doing this because it's fun. I do this because I grew up wanting to do it, and eventually I want to promote. I don't want to wrestle the rest of my life. So I don't really do a lot of studying, if that's, so I guess I'm going to say no to that question. But only because I don't know what
it is. Essentially, it's a sort of a brotherhood of people that were in the wrestling business, and every year in Las Vegas, they get together for 3 days and socialize. There's a very big card where promoters send some of their talent to be seen. Sort of a giant reunion of people that have been in the industry.
Oh. Well, I mean, if that's the case, and I'd love to go. I mean, I'm always down for new opportunities. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, definitely should check that out. A great organization. There's a membership due, and all of the funds there go to help wrestlers in need. Like retired wrestlers that have been down on their luck or have gotten sick or injured. So pretty good, worthwhile organization.
I'll definitely, hey, do me a favor then and send me a message in the name of that when we get off here, because I'll forget. I've taken a lot of chair shots in my life, so send me that. And even if I don't, fee, I can at least donate.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you with the chair shots. Now, I'm sure you've been to a lot of different venues in your career, and you've probably been in several different rings for different promotions. What's been the single worst ring that you've encountered?
Oh, man. It was my – there's two of them. I went to a show in Michigan, and I cannot remember the name of the show. I cannot remember the name of the show. I think it was in Battle Creek. And the ring was so lopsided that just walking through the middle, I felt like I was going to sprain my ankle. 2 minutes.
That's probably
I gotta start wrapping this up. I got like 2 minutes.
Oh, all right. Well, in that case, why don't you take that 2 minutes? And if there's anything you want to say, plug or promote anything you got going on, social medias, your upcoming shows, anything, go for it.
Well, like it's tonight, we're wrestling out here in Osceola, Indiana for the new name tonight. We're going under I had a complete brain fart there. New Dawn. Yeah, New Dawn. We got a show tonight, and then the next show is going to be January 13th. It's going to be called The Asylum, and it's an all steel cage show. I have another show in Niles. At the Cowboy Saloon, I believe that's the 12th of this month. That is for Sick Minded Wrestling. Keep an eye out for New Dawn Wrestling. We're going to be doing some big things, looking for doing some DVDs. I really don't have anything else. You can check me out on Facebook. Look under B.E. Stone. Or look up the Evan O'Leary fan page. All that, all the names will be changed later on, but that's about it.
All right. Well, Evan O'Leary, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. I know you got to get to work there at the show, so best of luck. Bump safely, and hopefully we'll have you back again in the future.
All right. I had no problem coming back on.
Oh, very good.
All right. Fans, if you're anywhere near the Osceola area, get out there. You got a few minutes before the show starts. Support your local pro wrestling wherever it might be. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Damian Wayne, the former AIWF World Heavyweight Champion, will be with us. So join us for that. Should be phenomenal.